नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो 64th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 35। द चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द डिलीवरेंस ऑफ किंग नृग। वर्ड बाय वर्ड ऑफ द वर्स प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। ब्रह्मस्वम् दुरनुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्। ब्रह्मस्वं दूरनुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्। ब्रह्मस्वं दुरनुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्। ब्रह्मस्वं दुरनुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्। ब्रह्मस्वत्तु करुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्। स्वहस्तं तु दुरनुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्। ब्रह्मस्वं दुरनुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्। माताजीस् मस्वं दुरनुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्। ब्रह्मस्वमुदनुज्ञातम् भुक्तम् हन्ति त्रिपुरुषम् प्रसह्य तु बलात् भुक्तम् दश पूर्वान् दशापरान्।
Translation and purport by the disciples of Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: if a person enjoys Brahmana's property without receiving due permission, that property destroys three generations of his family. But if he takes it by force or gets the government or other outsiders to help him usurp it, then 10 generations of his ancestors and 10 generations of his descendants are all destroyed. Purport: according to Srila Sridhar Swami, Tripurusha refers to oneself, one's sons, and one's grandsons.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयम् रूप कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् सागरजातम् सगणारघुनाथान्वितम् तं सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजनासहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् रघुगणगुनाथात् हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
If a person enjoys a brahmana's property without receiving due permission, that property destroys three generations of his family. But if he takes it by force or gets the government or other outsiders to help him usurp it, then 10 generations of his ancestors and 10 generations of his descendants are all destroyed. Hare Krishna. First of all, I would like to seek blessings of all Vaishnavas gathered in this assembly hall so that I can carry out my service of making a presentation on this wonderful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. How grateful we should be to our spiritual master for introducing us to this sublime process of Krishna consciousness, and how grateful we should be to Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada for giving us this treasure of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which we are able to relate to pastimes and events that took place in Satya Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Trita Yuga, and also pastimes that are likely to take place in the end of Kali Yuga. So very wonderful. Just sitting here, we are able to know all this. That is Srila Prabhupada's grace. Now, if Prabhupada had not given us this, his purpose to Srimad Bhagavatam, we would be totally in ignorance about the things that happened in the past and what was the purpose behind those events that took place. So, we find here that Kring Nriga is a towering personality from Krita Yuga and who committed a mistake and was punished by Yama and had to take the body of a lizard, from which Sri Krishna liberated it in Dwapar Yuga, and we are reading about it in Kali Yuga at this point in time. So in the I think 2-3 days back, His Grace Sahadeva Prabhu gave a class in Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he mentioned that Nriga, he had an abnormally huge body as a lizard, and also he had to live abnormally long period in the well, in which he had to descend as a result of the punishment that he received. And we find that this is something amazing part of the narration. Now let us briefly try to understand which are the different ages. There is Satya Yuga, then Treta Yuga, then we'll talk about Dwapara, and then Kali Yuga. Some information about it, because that is very, very relevant. Now in the 12th canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks Srila Sukadeva Goswami as to what are the durations of these different yugas, and what are the persons like in that yuga, who belong to that era, that yuga, what were their characteristics, and so many other details. And Srila Sukadeva Goswami is pleased to hear this question from Parikshit Maharaj, and he answers him. Very briefly I will try to present the synopsis of that particular chapter in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So as we know, Kali Yuga, the duration of Kali Yuga is 432,000 years, and we have spent just maybe about 5,200 years. Very long way to go still. And twice that Kali Yuga age is the age of Dwapara, which means it is 8,64,000 years. And Treta Yuga is 12,96,000 years, and Krita 17,28,000 years. So you can imagine that Druga had to stay through whatever was remnant of Satya Yuga, and then through Treta Yuga, and then fag end of Dwapara Yuga in that dry well. What a wonderful personality, great personality, but to stay that long. And after the annihilation of this Kali Yuga by the Supreme Lord, who assumes the form of Kalki, then again the next Yuga will start, Yuga cycle will start, with Krita Yuga again. It will start on Akshaya Tritiya, that is what is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this cycle of Yugas goes on. Now question arises as to what was the basis of religion in Krita Yuga, that is Satya Yuga. What are the basis of religion? There is a beautiful verse which says it, Krute pravartate dharma chatushpatat jane druta satyam dayatapo danam itipada vibho nrupa. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj that during the Krita Yuga, that is during the age of truth, it's called Satya Yuga, religion was present with all its four legs intact. We read about this also in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Four of its legs intact, and is carefully maintained by the people of that age. These four legs of powerful religion are what? Truthfulness, then mercy, austerity, and charity. So let us briefly discuss the characteristics of each of these yuga, not going into details because I have to do something else. So what happens is that in the age of Krita, it is standing on all its four legs, so it is reigning supreme as far as religion is concerned. So these people practice principles of God or Krishna consciousness very meticulously. They are all, people of this age are all merciful, friendly, peaceful, sober, and tolerant. We don't see these qualities in Kali Yuga. Then they follow the tenets of dharma, giving in charity, practicing all kinds of austerities, they do it. And practically everyone is Brahminical. There was no Varnashrama system prevalent during Satya Yuga. So everybody was Brahminical in character. So very, very sober, very, very tolerant, very, very austere, and they would propitiate the Supreme Lord Krishna by the process of meditation. So this is the characteristics. And what are the longevity of the people in that age? Lakhs of years. That is one reason why we find Durga's story in very much indicating that. Then in Treta Yuga, it stands on three legs and manifests Rajoguna. If Krita Yuga manifests Sattva Guna, then Treta Yuga manifests Rajoguna, and the Varnashram system starts from there. So the longevity of people is tens of thousands of years, and they please God through Yajna. Then in Dwapara, it stands on only two legs and predominantly represented both by Rajoguna as well as Tamoguna. And in this age, Varnashrama system was very predominant, and people are interested in glory and are very, very noble, and they live for thousands of years and worship in temples. And Kali Yuga, Yuga in which we are standing, it stands on only one leg, which is also wobbling, that leg. That is age of that principle of truth that is there. And in this age, especially because it's a mode of tamoguna only, entirely, there are no reactions if you commit offenses in your mind. Whereas in Satya Yuga, if you committed an offense in your mind also, there was a reaction. So this was the purity of that age. So slightest impurity could not be tolerated. That is what we see in the story of Nruga also. And in Kali Yuga, there are no reactions. Even if you think of, you know, murdering somebody whom you don't like, there will be no reaction for that. Until and unless you do it actually, physically you do it, then you will be punished. You will be caught. And whatever wonderful process of law we have in our country, one fine day you may be punished for it also. It can happen. Perhaps it will happen. That is how it is. So the people of Kali Yuga are greedy, ill-behaved, merciless, and quarrelsome. This is the nature of the people. And people live for hardly 100 years. If somebody lives for 100 years or 102 years, you see his photographs in newspapers. This person, you know, such and such a lady in China or whatever, Indonesia, lived, you know, for 110 years, and everybody, you know, sees that and admires that person. So this is Kali Yuga characteristics. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami beautifully summarizes what is the way in which these people of different ages, you know, please the Lord. Krute yadhyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalau tad harikirtanat. Krute yad dhyayato vishnu. So in Kruta Yuga, people, you know, worship the Supreme Lord by the process of meditation, dhyana. Then in Treta, yajato makhaihi, by performance of wonderful sacrifices according to the proper procedures described in the Shastra, they would do it meticulously and they would please the Supreme Lord. Dvapare paricharyayam. In Dvapara Yuga, they worship, carried out beautiful worship in temples and please the Lord. So that was in Dwapara Yuga. And Kalav Tat Harikirtanat. So whatever benefit one could derive in Satya Yuga by the process of meditation, or in the Treta Yuga by the process of sacrifice, or in Dwapara Yuga by temple worship, the same benefit one can derive by the process of chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is actually what is indicated. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami, this in the Kali Yuga in which we are living, there is nothing very, very inspiring about it. Everywhere you see scams, everywhere you see quarrels, everywhere you see fights, the newspapers are full of it. Nothing actually makes you feel inspired. But still, Srila Sukadeva Goswami says that Kali Yuga has one redeeming quality. What is that redeeming quality? Says that, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sanga param vrajet. Says that Kaler dosha nidhi rajan. Nidhi means it says that this Kali Yuga is just a collection of all kinds of faults. Everything is dirty and horrible in Kali Yuga. But then there is one, you know, redeeming quality. What is that? Kirtanadeva Krishnasya. Though everything around us is bleak and everything around us, you know, makes you unhappy, there is one wonderful quality, and that is that just by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. So we can achieve the ultimate goal of human life. That is just by the process of, you know, chanting of the holy names. So there is no need for despair. Thanks to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thanks to Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, all of us have received this sublime, you know, process of Krishna consciousness. And just by following the tenets of Krishna consciousness, we can definitely reach our ultimate goal. So that's a big benediction in this age of quarrel, in this age of hypocrisy, where there are fights all around. So this is what is done. So now the Yuga Dharma in Satya Yuga or in Krita Yuga was giving charity, as we just read, giving in charity. And King Nraga was practicing this very nicely, very wonderfully he was practicing. So there is an Upanishadic saying which says that charity should be given Shraddhaya Deyam. Should be given, charity should be given with Shraddha. Shriya Deyam, give according to the opulence which the Lord has given you. Krishna accepts Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. But if Krishna has given you opulence also, you can do it with whatever opulence that is at your command, you can offer it to the Supreme Lord. Then Riya Deyam, give charity with great humility, with Vinaya. Not that, you know, I am giving you charity, I am doing you a big favor. No, the receiver is doing you a big favor by accepting your charity. So Vinaya, humility is very, very important. And Bhya Deyam, following scriptural injunctions. Scriptures tell you, don't do this. If you do this, this will happen, this will happen. So, you know, by proper in-depth study of scriptures, we know how to follow the instructions of scriptures. You have to do that. And then, Samvida Deyam, according to time, place and circumstances. Acts of charity, like all acts of piety, must not be postponed. We should not think that, okay, I have this desire to do this charity, but, you know, I'll do it some other time. So any pious activity should not be postponed. So there is a beautiful story in Mahabharata which talks about this principle. Once it so happened that Yudhishthira Maharaj was in his king doing his different duties, looking at the different affairs of the kingdom, and Bhima was very much there. So just then a Yachaka comes there. He comes, and when he comes, Yachaka comes, he says that I want to meet Yudhishthira Maharaj. Bhima says he is very involved, he is very busy, not preoccupied. But anyway, I'll go and communicate. So he goes to Yudhishthira Maharaj and says, tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, and such and such a person has come, he wants to meet you. So at that time Yudhishthira Maharaj says, ask him to come tomorrow. Ask him to come tomorrow. So Bhima says, this is the wish of the king. Alright. So he comes out of Yudhishthira's room. Then after coming out, after some time, Yudhishthira Maharaj starts hearing, you know, lot of, you know, kettle drums being played, nagara being played, and Yudhishthira wonders why all this, you know, is being done. He says that, please, he calls his servant. He says that, who is doing all this? He says, Bhima is personally doing it, you know, he is, you know, playing on the nagara. And so Yudhishthira Maharaj is bewildered. He says, call Bhima. So Bhima comes. When Bhima comes, Yudhishthira Maharaj asks him, why all this celebration? Why are you doing all this? Then Bhima says that this is to celebrate that you are in control of time. Says that, how come? Because you have called that Yachaka tomorrow. That means, you know, you are confident that you are going to live for one more day. That means, you know, you have conquered time. Therefore this celebration. No, normally from Bhima you expect, you know, Gada Yuddha Maramari. But no, here is highest philosophy being preached by Bhima. Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately accepts
Bhima's suggestion, and he says that go and call that Yachaka. So Yachaka comes, he gets his charity or whatever he wanted to do and goes away. So this was being practiced in Satyayuga very nicely. And what is the standard for giving charity? Now, charity can be performed in the mode of goodness, can be performed in the mode of passion, it can be performed in the mode of ignorance. All these three have been beautifully described by none other than Lord Krishna himself. He says in the 17.20, he says, Dātavyam iti yajñānam dīyate anupakārine deshakāle cha pātre cha taddānam sātvikam smṛtam. He says that charity is in the mode of sattva-guna, which is done without expectation of return. Anupakārine. So you do charity, but expect nothing, I'll get a good job, I'll get a good wife, I will live long. No expectations at all, completely. Anya abhilashita shunya, that kind of charity you do. Then, how else? Deshakalecha patrecha. So you should give this charity to a worthy person, not anybody at all. Other day, Radhapati described something that Radha Gopinath Prabhu narrates sometimes in his lectures, that I'll repeat it for the pleasure of those who are sitting here, that one day His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu was returning late from his preaching program. So when he was returning late, he saw that there was a beggar, begging for charity, and he was asking for charity. So he went to a rich man who got out of a car, and that rich man could hardly stand, he was swaggering, he was so badly drunk. So this man goes and asks him, please give bakshish, give some charity. So at that time, the man, drunken man, takes out a bottle of whiskey from his pocket and says, take, tumhi yaad kya yaad karega, take this whiskey and drink it. So he thinks he is doing charity. No, this is charity in mode of ignorance at its worst. Anyway, this is how it goes on. People in this world feel that they can do any kinds of charity, anyhow, at any time. But there are norms in which one can do. So, Srila Prabhupada says that charity given out of duty without expectation of return at the proper time and place and to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, charity should be given to persons engaged in spiritual activities. One who is engaged in spiritual activities. And what is the main theme of charity? There should be spiritual perfection in whatever one does. Charity should be given at a place of pilgrimage, given on a day of eclipse. So many things are given in the Shastra, and should be mainly given to qualified Brahmanas or Vaishnavas, specifically devotees. So now King Nriga was talking briefly about the background. I won't go into too many details. King Nriga was the son of Ikshvaku, a great king. So a personality who did charity every day of his life, and he would give thousands of cows in charity to people. And when he was not a bhakta, he was not a devotee. His charity was not with anupakarine, angle. He did it to get something. So he did this pious deed of giving in charity because he was hoping that he would be able to enjoy, corresponding or proportional, enjoyment in heavens. He was thinking about that. He was a wonderful person, no doubt. We are nobody to criticize the charity of King Nriga. But when by his some previous Sukriti he gets audience of Sri Krishna himself, thanks to Sri Krishna's children who call him to the well, and he gets an audience of none other than Sri Krishna himself, and he tells Sri Krishna that I have been giving in charity, a little bit of boastfulness, I have been giving in charity
so many cows, as many there are, you know, grains, you know, of sand, you know, I have been giving so many cows in charity. As many stars there are in the firmament, I have been giving in charity like that. Or you can't count the number of drops in rainwater, I have been giving in charity. This way he says that, he tells Krishna, you must have surely heard of me, you know, I am such a charitable personality that you must have heard of me. Little bit of a trace, an iota of ego. Of course, we have no right to criticize anybody from this yuga, Satya Yuga. So anyway, he does it. And what sort of cows he was giving? Very wonderful cows. That description is there in the Bhagavatam. He was giving young cows who were brown, who were milk laden, who were very well behaved. Shila Rupa Gunopapanna. So they were all well endowed cows, and they had gilded horns, silver hooves, beautiful clothes. Every cow was bedecked with all this, and he was giving such cows in charity. Not just, you know, skinny cow. He was giving very nice cows in charity. Then he was giving it to whom? He was giving it to Brahmanas, who were very well qualified, who were well read in Shastra, qualified in every way. They were needy, but they were well read in Shastra. They were real Brahmanas in that sense. So he was giving it to them. And he was giving it after a lot of scrutiny. The Brahmanas, not just any Brahmana, he would do scrutinize all their antecedents, that is described in the Bhagavatam. And then, you know, finally give them these cows. So he was doing it to everyone. And these Brahmanas were not ordinary. And it is said that Durga's charity was done very nicely. The process went on for a fairly long time. But all things said and done, this charity which was being done was in the broad heading of Karma Kanda. Because you are doing it. So when you do Karma Kanda activities, there can always be flaws. Even in Satya Yuga or Krita Yuga, there could always be, you know, some error due to the influence of time. Something would be there. And this happened in case of Nruga. Day after day, his charity was on a very wonderful platform. But one day, it so happened that King Nruga was giving away the cows. It's not that he was personally taking the cows and, you know, going and giving it to Brahmanas. He had probably assistants who were helping him. There were cows, you know, in various sheds. And he gave one cow in charity to a Brahmana. So the Brahmana accepted that cow in gratefully. And he gave them several other cows also to the Brahmana. So after some time, it so happened that the cow that was given in charity to that Brahmana, it wandered and joined a herd of cows which are yet to be given in charity. Now it so happened that the cow which was already given in charity, which had become the property of that particular Brahmana, was again given in charity to another Brahmana. Now this is a very subtle concept. When we give something in charity to somebody, that becomes the property of that individual. And if you now usurp it, Prabhupada uses the word, if you usurp it and then give it away to somebody else, that is as good as stealing. So in Satya Yuga, this came in the category of, you know, stealing virtually. You have given a property and you are taking it back. And therefore, when this happened, the Brahmanas, both the Brahmanas, there are two Brahmanas, one Brahmana who had received that cow initially, and the other Brahmana who received it afterwards, both of them, they started quarreling. They're fighting over this. And they were such Brahmana that they didn't want anything else. This was Satya Yuga, you know, as was described yesterday, I think, by Adikesha Prabhu. He was mentioning that Brahmanas were so renounced that if somebody served them, you know, prasad in golden plates, they would just honor the prasad and go away. They would not take the gold plate away, as the tendency would be in Kali Yuga. We take away that. It was not like that. They would just, you know, honor the prasad and just leave. So that was the norm in Satya Yuga. So here the Brahmanas, King Nruga realized that such a thing had happened. And he was repentant and he wanted to compensate, he wanted to make good. So he called both the brahmanas. He said, please don't quarrel over this cow. I can give you lakhs of cows. Each of you I'll give other lakh of cows. But please, settle the matter here and now. But the brahmanas didn't agree. They were, you know, they wanted the same cow. Both of them wanted the same cow. All the persuasive tactics of King Nruga did not help. And both the brahmanas, you know, walked away in anger. That means Nruga had committed a mistake, had committed an offense toward the brahmanas, for which he would be punished. Soon Nruga's, you know, death arrived. So it's not that he was eternally living. So he died. When he died, he was taken by Yamadutas to Lord Yama. Yama saw this King Nruga, and he said that, he said many things, but he said, to be brief, he said that you have done some sinful activity. What are the sinful activity which we have just now talked about? Then he said, also you have done wonderful principles of charity. So what would you like to do first? Would you like to suffer the results of your sinful activity first? Or would you like to enjoy the fruits of, you know, your generosity, your charity and other things that you did? So Nruga says that, let me, you know, suffer the results of my sinful activity. No sooner Nruga says it, he immediately starts descending from the Yamaloka, and he develops the body of a lizard which falls into the well in one of the forests in Dwarka, which is where the sons of Shri Krishna, headed by Sambha, Pradyumna and others, and other sons of Yaduvamsa, all of them have gone for sport. They see this lizard, and without going into details, they are not able to bring out the lizard on their own strength. So they try very hard. Pradyumna and all these were also strong, but all of them collectively, they try to make use of different contraptions to take out the lizard, but they are not successful. And eventually they go to Krishna and say, this is our experience. And so Krishna comes there, and Krishna effortlessly with his left hand picks up this lizard. And as soon as Lord Krishna's hand touches that lizard, the lizard sheds its body. It sheds its body and assumes its, you know, demigod body. So his body becomes resplendent, you know, very, very shining, and he stands there. And as soon as he comes out of that lizard's body, he offers his prostrated obeisances to Krishna. He offers his prostrated obeisances to Krishna, and Krishna, though he knows everything that is happening, still for the benefit of others, he says, ask Nruga, who are you? What are you doing? So Krishna, it is said, he knows the knower of the present, past and future also. He knows everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha Arjuna. So bhavishyani cha bhutani mamtu vedana kaschana. Krishna says that he knows of everything, but still he indulges King Nruga. Asks him, you know, you whatever you want to say, please say it. Tell about whatever you want to say. And Nruga says that, you know, this is what I did. Throughout my life I was practicing charity, but one day, you know, I did this and I have been punished for it. But I am so fortunate that I have been able to get audience with you. I have been able to get your grace. You have, with your divine hands, touched me and purified my existence. Now I have nothing else to look forward to. It is summarized in so many beautiful verses in the Bhagavatam. There is nothing else that I am look forward to. But now please, he touches his, you know, crown to the lotus feet of Krishna. He says, now give me permission to go. So this way, he goes back. Nruga goes back to heavenly Kimbalam, where he can enjoy now. He has not to suffer anymore. So that is the story. So this is what went wrong. You do several things very nicely, but one thing can go wrong and you get punishment for that. So there is another story also from Satya Yuga, which is on sort of similar to what has happened here. So I would like to narrate that. And there were two brothers. Both of them were sages. So the name, they are brothers. Both of them, after their education in Gurukul, they set up different ashrams, and they were fully involved in, you know, their spiritual practices, and their ashrams were quite separate ashrams, were nearby, and they carried on very beautifully. They wrote, there are smritis, the names of these two brothers were Shankha and Likhita. Though there are writings by Shankha Muni and Likhita Muni also. So both of them lived very nicely, peacefully. They were preaching, they had disciples and everything. One day it so happened that Shankha Muni, you know, he had gone out of his ashram, he had gone somewhere, and the younger brother Likhit, he came to the ashram of his elder brother. So he was looking for his brother. Brother had gone out somewhere, gone to the forest maybe, and this younger brother felt ravenously hungry, was very very hungry, and he didn't have patience to wait for his brother to come. So what he did was, in the ashrama there was a fruit tree, he picked up a fruit from one of the trees, he picked it up and started eating that fruit. Remember, this is Satya Yuga. So he takes a fruit without permission of the brother, he starts eating it. Just then elder brother Shankha comes there. He comes there and asks him. He is very happy to see his younger brother. He loved his younger brother very much. Very happy to see him. But then he sees, you know, that fruit in his hand. He says, "Brother, what are you doing?" He says that, you know, in your absence I felt very hungry, and you know, I have plucked a fruit from one of the trees of your ashram without asking you. So Shankha doesn't say anything. He says that, "Brother, what is this called?" Suddenly Likhita, the younger brother, realizes what he has done, the gravity. This is Satya Yoga. He realizes the gravity of what he has done. He says, "Brother, this is called theft. I have stolen one fruit from the tree in your ashram." So the elder brother asks, "So what do you think should be done now?" He says that, "I have to receive danda. I have to receive punishment for what I have done. So you please give me whatever punishment you want to give." The elder brother Shankha says, "Who am I to give punishment? To receive punishment, you go to the king. You go to the king and ask him and tell him, report to him what you have done. And then let him decide what he has to do." The obedient brother immediately leaves, goes to the king. When he goes to the king receives him with great honor and respect. He gives him a proper seat. Then he wants to give him argya and do his pada puja and all that. At that time, this Likhita younger says that, "Please, O king, don't do all this. No, I have not come here to be honored. I have come here to be punished. I want danda from you." So he said, "What happened?" Then he narrates. He says that, "In absence of my brother, without permission, I plucked a fruit, and now, you know, I realize that I have committed an apradh, an offense, for which I need to be punished. So please punish me." The king says, "This is a little too much, you know. You are sages who spend all your precious time, you know, giving spiritual knowledge to your disciples. You do so much for society. Who am I to punish you? If I can punish you, I can also condone your offense. So I'll forgive you. You don't worry." But the younger brother says that, "We munis, you know, we frame all the rules and regulations. We have framed the danda shastra and everything. Now your duty is to punish me for the offense that I have committed, not, you know, be forgiving in your nature." So immediately the king has to accept. After all, this is the rule of the land. So he says, "So what is the punishment?" He says, "Both the hands should be chopped off."
This was the punishment in Satyayuga if you stole, if you did theft. Now that kind of punishment I hear still exists in some Middle East countries. If you are caught stealing, this is what is done to you. So he both his hands maimed. But Likhit is very happy. He is thrilled that he has received danda for his offense. So he comes back running to the elder brother. He says, "Brother, please see, I have received punishment for whatever crime I have committed. Now I don't have to go to hell, to suffer further punishment for the crime that I have committed. I have already received danda." So the elder brother is also very happy. He says that, "I am proud of you, So you have received punishment for what you did. Now," he says, "let us both, take a dip in the river which is nearby." So both of them, go and take a dip. And while taking his bath, the younger brother wants to offer Argya to the sun god. And as he is trying to offer Argya, both his hands are restored. His hands come back. And then he addresses his elder brother. He says that, "What is this? If you were to restore my hands, why did you first of all not punish me here itself? You could have given me the danda and immediately, given me hands back. Why did you not do this?" He says that the punishing authority is the king of the land. I am not the punishing authority. I can merely tell you what the dharma is, what should be done, what should not be done. But, I am not the punishing authority. So you have to receive punishment from the right authority. So you have received punishment from the right authority. And you have also, done whatever was necessary to nullify your apradh. So now you should be happy. He says that you have followed the dictates of Shastra, therefore I am happy. So everybody was happy. So from this we can understand that in Krita Yuga the punishments were very, very severe even for minor mistakes, minor problem. Nowadays if you go to some relative's home, you just open the fridge, and you see something attractive, you gulp it down, isn't it? Do you wait for permission? But that was the norm in Satya Yuga. So here also, if King Nriga had taken permission, of some higher authorities or had taken guidance from some guru, they would have come out with some proper solution. But Nriga wanted to find his own solutions and eventually had to suffer for what he has done. So we can realize from this also that in these days there are so many things happening, corruption happening, public money is utilized, and there is lot of things which are wrongly being done. So you can imagine the extent to which such people who are indulging in different scams, depriving honest people of their well earned money, who cheat, bank frauds, this fraud, that fraud, these people are going to be punished severely for whatever they have done. They are not going to escape because they are stealing public money. They are also destroying public property, which is also equally a crime. This also will receive severe punishment. You just burn a bus, because somebody did not get, was not allowed to enter the bus or something like that. So all these, are crimes in Kali Yuga, which you read about every day in newspaper. All these will things happen. So here we find in these verses which we read today and which previous verses, Krishna says that stealing the property, he tells his sons and other, Yadu dynasty people who are standing there, he advises them, he actually is cautioning them. He's saying that how indigestible, it is in the previous verses, is the property of a Brahmana even when enjoyed just slightly by one more potent than fire. What then to speak of kings who try to enjoy it, presuming themselves lords? Then Krishna says that I do not consider halahal to be real poison, because it has an antidote. But Brahmana's property, when stolen, can truly be called poison. Then again he says, poison kills only the person who ingests it. But an ordinary fire may be extinguished with water. But the fire generated from kindling wood of Brahmana's property burns the thief's entire family down to the root. So this is the seriousness of offense that was committed, and Lord Krishna is, this is my surmise, prophetically, you know, saying what is going to happen when you disrespect a Brahmana. We see in subsequent chapters, I don't want to go into details, we see how the Yadu dynasty, you know, perished because of showing disrespect to Brahmanas. So Krishna is telling everything for the benefit of those who were assembled near the well there, and also for our benefit, so that we can learn from this. This is what, and in this verse he is saying that without receiving due permission, if you receive Brahmana's property, generations, this present generation, next generation, and the generation thereafter will also be, you know, will also suffer because of that. So we have to be very, very cautious in our dealings with Brahmanas and with Vaishnavas. So Shri Krishna is, he is called Go Brahmana, Brahmani Hitayacha. So Krishna is always concerned about the welfare of Brahmanas, very deferential towards Brahmanas. If you go through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, you find that whenever Lord Krishna accosted a Brahmana, he would receive him with great respect. We see this when, you know, Rukmini sends a Brahmana messenger to meet Krishna. Then we see this when Sudama Vipra, Krishna's friend, goes to the palace of Krishna, where he receives him with such love and respect. He makes him sit on his own bed, washes his feet, and then takes that water and puts it on his own head and also on the others. So it is said that the water that had touched the lotus feet of Krishna becomes Ganges, which purifies everyone. That is the nature of Ganga Nadi. It purifies everyone. So he goes there. But Krishna doesn't mind putting the foot wash of the Brahmanas on his own head. So that's what he does to Narad Muni also. When Narad Muni visits the different palaces of King Gaga, he is curious to know. Krishna has married, you know, 16,108 wives he has. How must he be looking after them? Yes, that curiosity in his mind, Narad Muni. Very, very natural and logical, I suppose. But Krishna has assumed 16,108 forms. And he lives with every wife and gives satisfaction and joy to every wife. So Narad Muni enters the different palaces. So in one palace he is received by Lord Krishna. Again, he is so happy to see Narad Muni. And then, you know, he receives him very appropriately, does his Pada Puja, sprinkles that water on himself and his wife, and does so many wonderful things there. Then Narad Muni goes to another palace. All this is described by Srila Prabhupada in Krishna book very nicely, also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he goes to another palace. There he finds Krishna, you know, honoring his guest Brahmana. He's honoring him with, you know, prasad. He gives prasad to the Brahmana, and then he honors the remnants of that prasad. Krishna takes the remnants. So this way Krishna honored the Brahmanas very much. So namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmana hitaya cha. We sing this prayer every day in our life. That is go brahmana, that is Krishna. So Krishna is very, very protective where the Brahmanas are concerned, and therefore he is issuing this warning, as His Grace Adhikesha Prabhu said yesterday, is issuing a warning to everyone that how careful we should be in our dealings with Brahmanas. Never ever steal or deprive a Brahmana or a Vaishnava or a devotee of his property, because there is going to be a reaction. Of course, this is not Satya Yuga, this is Kali Yuga, but even then we are bound to have some reaction for this. So we have to be very, very cautious. This is what we learn from this. But when it comes to stealing Vaishnava literature, You can do it so long as you don't steal the Vaishnava literature and sell it, you know, second hand or something like that in the market. So we have a beautiful episode in Chaitanya Leela, that of Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamanand, these were three very illustrious devotees, perfect devotees, who were under training of Srila Jiva Goswami. They had different spiritual masters, but they were trained by Srila Jiva Goswami. So Srila Jiva Goswami asked these three, you know, illustrious disciples, he says that you please take a cart and carry all this Vaishnava literature to Bengal in a cart. So they are very happy to do that. There is the first book distribution party. So it sets out in a big, you know, cascade, very big, you know, case. They put all the Vaishnava literatures in that, load it in a cart, and they start traveling in a cart. So they are traveling from place to place. Their journey is uneventful until they come to a place called Ban Vishnupur. They come to a place called Ban Vishnupur, and the characteristic of that Ban Vishnupur is that it is ruled by a king who is a highway robber himself. So he has a gang of highway robbers whose prime occupation, you know, is to accost, you know, travelers, you know, and then, you know, literal highway robber. So they accost him and then pick up all their gold and ornaments, and then, you know, that is how he ruled the kingdom. So he gets a report that, you know, some three, you know, people are traveling in a cart, and they seem to be carrying a precious cargo, you know, in their, you know, caskets. They are carrying some precious cargo. So this king, you know, believed in astrology. So he goes to, this is all described in Srinivas Acharya's life also. They all, the king, you know, consults an astrologer. He says that these three people are coming and they seem to be carrying something very valuable. So what do you think? The astrologer says, yes. He does some calculation and says, yes, they are carrying something most valuable in that. So he's very enthused. So they do, you know, Chandi Puja and everything, and they, you know, go and, you know, literally, you know, when the three people are sleeping at night, they carry the entire, you know, the whole cartload, you know, of books. They don't know that it is books. They think they are jewels and gold. Actually, they are worth more than jewels and gold, but they carry all that and they take it with them to, he takes it with him to the kingdom. So next day morning, when Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu, all three of them, when they get up, they find that their precious cargo is gone. They're very much distressed. They say, now how are you going to carry out the assignment that has been given to us by our Shiksha Guru Jiva Goswami? How are we going to do it? So they are very tense. Then Srinivas Acharya says that you people carry on, you know. I'll take care, I'll continue here. Maybe, you know, I'll be able to trace the books. And then he gets to talking to various people. Then he comes to know that there is a king whose name is Virambir, who is a highway robber. And the person who tells Srinivas Acharya, he says that maybe your cargo, precious cargo, has been stolen by this king. Go, that is his profession. No, he keeps doing it. So you better, you know, approach him. So Srinivas Acharya is very happy to hear that there is some solution to his problem. So he goes to the king, Virambir. He goes to him, and when he goes there, amazingly, this Virambir was very fond of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam Katha practically every day. And Srinivas Acharya, when he comes to know this, he is also very happy. So here is a bhakta in making, though he is a highway robber. So he goes to him and then they talk.
And then finally, Srinivasa Acharya is introduced as a wonderful devotee Vaishnava. And one thing leads to other, and it ends up in their asking him to give Bhagavat Katha. So Srinivasa Acharya gives Bhagavatam Katha. So when he gives Bhagavatam Katha, it is so full of nectar. It is so wonderful with pristine purity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings conveyed through the Bhagavat Katha, that everybody in the audience is spellbound. Everybody is spellbound. And then at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, this king, robber king, he requests Srinivas Acharya. He says that you please continue to stay here in the kingdom and guide us. So, and then Srinivas Acharya agrees, hoping against hope that he will retrieve all the books. So he agrees to stay with him. He stays there, and then when he stays there, one fine day they get talking, and Srinivas Acharya conveys to him that, you know, such and such a thing happened. We were carrying, you know, this Vaishnava literature, and this entire box, you know, huge box has been stolen away. So immediately this Viramvir, he understands, you know, that that cargo belonged to none other than Srinivas Acharya and his, you know, colleagues. So he confesses to him. He says that I am that thief, you know, who has stolen your books. And he goes to wherever he has stored them. He brings the book box full of books to Srinivas Acharya, and when Srinivas Acharya receives those books, he's thrilled that at last, you know, the precious books have been, you know, which were stolen, have been retrieved. And then Virhambir and all his, you know, all the people in his kingdom, one by one, take initiation from Srinivas Acharya. So it becomes a Vaishnava, you know, kingdom. Everybody becomes a Vaishnava there. So if one steals Vaishnava literature and doesn't sell it in black market, but understands in depth the philosophy contained in those books and practices Krishna consciousness, then there is nothing wrong. So we read in Srila Prabhupada's so many accounts how, you know, people, you know, received some books which are even lying somewhere, and how they became Krishna conscious through their entire life. So nearer home, we have our own example of His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu. So I would like to talk about him briefly and then end my this katha. So Mahaprabhu Prabhu, as one knows, is the one of our senior most counselors, devotees, responsible for bringing the archa vigrahas of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath from Jaipur. He's that personality who brought them here. So anyway, so he has been conducting, you know, program in his house, in his garage, in Khar, for so many years, more than, I think, 25 years, he's been conducting the program. So what he used to do was that in early days when the program started, he used to store many books of Srila Prabhupada. And devotees, you know, young doctors and others, this has been confessed by doctors themselves, so, you know, I'm not saying something. So many doctors, you know, would come, you know, attend the program, sometimes conducted by His Holiness Girath Maharaj or His Holiness Radhanath Swami or some other, you know, Vaishnavas. They would come there, attend the program, enjoy nice prasad, and, you know, very easily pocket some of the books, you know, Prabhupada's books. And this has been confessed by them. And then they became, you know, such wonderful devotees. Such wonderful Vaishnavas. And they built the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, where there are so many Vaishnavas in making. So patients, you know, transformed into Vaishnavas. So stealing indeed is an offense, is a crime, punishable under penal code. But, you know, if you steal spiritual information in the form of books,
occasionally. Of course, you don't have to go and start practicing it now. So, I just gave it as a narration. So, you can do it. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. If anybody has any questions or any comments, please feel free to make it. There seem to be no question. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.